साइक्लिकल, सी, साइक्लिकल ट्रेंड इज अ साइक्लिकल मूवमेंट इन द डिमांड फॉर द प्रोडक्ट. सो साइक्लिकल इज बेसिकली यू हैव रिसेशन, डिप्रेशन, यू हैव रिकवरी फेज. लाइक वी हैव नाउ डेज वी टॉक अबाउट पोस्ट लॉकडाउन, लॉकडाउन एंड पोस्ट लॉकडाउन. सो पोस्ट लॉकडाउन यू कैन फाइंड देयर इज अ वेरी साइक्लिकल मूवमेंट विद रिस्पेक्ट टू डिमांड ऑफ मेनी प्रोडक्ट्स. एंड वी हैव रैंडम इवेंट्स, आर रैंडम इवेंट्स मीन्स यू डोंट नो, सडनली देर कैन बी अ राइज और देर कैन बी अ फॉल. ओके, यू कैनॉट प्रेडिक्ट. सो रैंडम वेरिएशंस आर वेर देर इज नो वन पर्टिकुलर स्पेसिफिक रीजन. लाइक देर इज अ पावर शटडाउन, a complete power shutdown brings the total output of the company to zero, standstill. That is random. Now what we have to do is, when we are using time series, we have to use the total of this, t plus s plus c plus r. That is called additive form. Matlab aap koi bhi company ka data agar lete ho, you have to observe that data and see whether it is t plus s plus c plus r. If the company is selling a seasonal product, let's talk about if it's selling air coolers, then it will more focus on S. If a company, T will always be there because T is the number of customers who are buying air coolers. Yes, so T will always be there. There will always be some trend which will be available. C will be cyclical over the years. What type of market changes or economic changes have impacted the sales of the company. Any random fluctuation which has affected, like lockdown, R will always be there in every company's data now, because R has impacted the sales and the total output of the company and the production. Then you have multiplicative form, where you just keep multiplying, and then you have a logarithm form. So these are the different forms in which the companies can use the statistical information to make predictions. This is how the graph looks like. Just one specimen is given over here. You plot it in the graph and you can see the trend. Okay, so whether it's a secular, now see, there was a sudden peak and then there's a sudden fall. Now in 2002, what is the fall? Demand for mobiles in lakhs. Now in 2002, it was a peak, but why was there a downfall? So we need to highlight, we need to understand ki what was the reason between 2002 to 2003 for the fall in the number of mobile users. So like that, so many datas of the companies can be used, and then there can be discussions. The companies can have its sales team, it can show a data, and it can make the team work on finding the reasons so that they can predict if any such factors are going to happen in the future, then how much downfall is expected with the sale of the product. After that, now we move to the second quantitative method, which is moving average. It's a very simple, you can see a formula, average, mean. Okay, so you look at the demand, you look at the demand for, let's say, 5 months or 6 months, divided by 6, ek average aa jayega. It's a very simple, just ek average nikalna hai. Exponential method has become popular because here we give the importance to the most recent data. So company manager will tell you, okay, I have got this average, but tell me what is the most recent demand for smartphone users. Abhi 5G aane ke baad exponential method will pick up, because company will be interested in knowing who all are going to use the 5G on a large scale. First, it will be used by the data analyst by companies, especially when we have this online work where company needs a very high net speed. So this will be considered as exponential method, most recent observation used for prediction. I think this is very popular when new technology is used or a new product is entering the market and its usage is being tracked. Index numbers are very popular, especially in economics, when we are talking about inflation. Index numbers are specialized averages, specialized methods which are used to understand the relation between group of variables. So the variables that we are going to check are price and demand. So if the company is increased the price, now post lockdown prices have gone up. So as the prices have increased, how has it affected the demand? So base year is taken as 100, and there are some very popular price indexes which are used. I'll tell you students, the price index that is popularly used by the government, especially to decide the DA, dearness allowance of the employees, is cost of living index. Cost of living index, import, export, and I think most of you may be aware, it's called as the share market index, price index. So these are some popular index numbers used for predictions. This is just a formula given to you where, just take you back, yeah, where P1 stands for current year price, P0 stands for base year price, Q0 will stand for the base year quantity. So this was just an example to tell you that index numbers are quantitative and formula based. Regression analysis. In regression analysis, we try to build up a statistical relation between two variables where correlation appears to exist. Here, relation between years of education and wages. You agree with this? If you are just completed your undergraduate, then what type of jobs you are, what type of jobs will be available for you, and what is the maximum income that you will draw. So we can build a correlation between education and wages. We can build up a relation between training and productivity. All these correlations, statistical relation, can be used. You remember iconic model I discussed? Yeah, so this is that iconic model. We can use scatter diagrams. We can make use of statistical method called line of best fit, and we can use it for prediction. You don't have to go in detail. This is just for you to know that when we discussed about regression analysis, what type of subtopics are used for demand forecasting. Finally, we are moving to one more complicated quantitative method, which is called econometric models. It is again a statistical method, but here we are going to make use of equations. And we are building an interrelation between not just two variables. Taking you back, regression, the relationship is only between two variables. But in econometric models, the relationship will be more than two variables. So there's a set of economic variables. So keep this in mind. In regression, we are only making use of two variables. But in econometric model, it is a set of economic variables. Okay? They can be quantitatively and qualitatively formulated. Here, one example is discussed. Let's talk about demand. Now, what are the factors which influence the demand? Let's say the demand for, we'll talk about the demand for laptops or the demand for smartphones. So what are the factors which are influencing the demand for smartphones? You all will agree that work from home and online culture which has developed or set in post-pandemic has led to increase in the online work and online activities. So what are the factors which are leading to the demand for smartphones, internet, high-speed internet? Why is 5G introduced now? Because definitely the online work activity has speed up. To support that online, we need a very high-speed network to, you can say, support this online activity. So this will be factors which will be influencing the demand. Okay, being analytical and process-oriented, the method will throw more light on the problems. So this is a very, very popular method which is used in demand forecasting and also in economics. One case study is discussed over here. If you look at this case study, this is a case study which talks about, let's say, an air travel between US and Europe. The years are quite outdated, but it's just a very popular case study, so I included it. 65 to 78. Look at the number of years. More than 10 years, one decade. So, one decade ka, we want to, we have an equation. This is an equation. See, this is how an econometric model will be. You can see a big equation given over here. Q is equal to 2.737 minus 1.2. This is average, average of the travelers. You already know we have taken average. So, average travelers have been, we got this. Okay, so between 65 to 78, the travelers from US to Europe is taken in PT. PT stands for average yearly airfare price. So in PT plus in one in GNP. So this is some result which is given to you. Now GNP is the gross national product of US. So what happens? You won't have this type of complicated things coming in the exam. So just don't panic. It's just an example, a case study to support what an econometric model might look like. So in econometric model, we prepare an equation based on data acquired from the market. And it is further statistically used by a formula and given to us in the form of an equation as you see over here. Now here the entire situation is explained. Suppose we take a time PT plus 1. Now what is T plus 1? It is 1979. Data is only from 65 to 78. Using this data we want to predict for 1979. Now what are we predicting? The price. Suppose the airfare price is $550. And the gross national product is $1,480. We have to forecast that given this gross national product and this price, how many passengers will be traveling in 1979 between USA and Europe. So there is a working given to over here, the solution, where you are making use of this equation given to you. Q is equal to 2.737 minus 1.247. So, you use that part of the information over here and then you have to take the NT-log of the current 79 price which is 550 and the current year GNP which is 1480. You take the NT-log of it and you get this estimate. So you are predicting that on an average 8.775 more passengers will be added to the existing trend of passengers. A very statistical method to estimate the passengers traveling between US Europe based on these 13 years. See, look at the time. Based on this 13 years data, a prediction is made for 1979. So the NT log is taken and this NT log gives you this answer. Okay. So the entire accuracy of this forecast, as you see, will totally depend on accuracy of estimated demand coefficient. Now what is estimated demand coefficient? Ye hai humara estimated demand coefficient. 2.737. minus 1.247. This is again the passengers who were traveling. The average is being taken and also the explanatory variables, estimated values of both independent and explanatory variable. What are the independent and explanatory variable? It is price and the GNP. So these are the explanatory variables. And finally, we are moving to the last quantitative approach, that is input-output analysis. Input-output analysis, this method is based on a set of tables. So there is a matrix, there is a table which is prepared and you try to understand the interrelationship among the components of the economy. It's very useful when a company wants to understand how one industry is interrelated to the other industry. Like if I talk about the gold market, how is the gold market interrelated with the bond market? Is there any relation? So the bond value and the gold price and the crude oil price. So interrelationship between various markets, a table is prepared. So it is very easy for those companies who are into trading, when they see that there is some type of fluctuation happening in one market, they can predict how much will be the impact that they are going to face because of that fluctuation. Like for example, if you talk about home loan and real estate, they are very strongly interconnected. So you can say that when there is a change in Reserve Bank of India's home loan rate, it is going to have an impact on the construction sector, right? The residential, the company, the construction companies who are constructing residential houses or residential property, they are definitely going to be influenced when there is a change in the home lending rates. You got that? So this is a very, very practical input-output analysis to understand any fluctuation, any downfall in any one business activity will impact its connected industry over a period of time. So the analysis helps to understand inter-industry relationship, and it tries to provide you information about the total impact of all industries as a result of change in demand forecast. These are all the methods that we have done. There is no one method that can be used. Company can use more than one method. They can use quantitative and qualitative methods both for getting the more accurate predictions. Which method the company will select will depend on these five parameters: the objectivity of their forecast, the availability of the data, the urgency, whether it is short run or long run, whatever resources the company has, and what is the nature of their product. So choice will depend on five parameters. Here we are giving you one basic idea about certain forecasting method based on product life cycle. If the product is in the development and introduction stage, then survey method, Delphi method are found to be very beneficial, giving more accuracy. If the product is already in the market and it is in a very growth stage, then there is data availability, so time series and regression analysis. And when the product is already finished with the rapid growth and now the growth of the product is stagnant, building econometric model is very, very useful to understand which factors have led to stagnant growth of the product and how can the company manipulate or it can counter, contradict that particular factor or make changes to push up the sales of a particular product. If the product is already losing the market because some competitor's better product has entered, then it's high time for the company to move to a new product and go for altogether a new method of forecasting. Methods suited for rapid growth stage can also be used here. Market development, advertisement, sales promotion, all these are playing a very, very important role. These are some of the criteria for selecting a good forecasting method. The accuracy. No forecast will give you 100% accuracy. So it has to be very near to the accuracy, you can say. Reliability. How much the data that the company has acquired is reliable, that is authenticity. It has to be not very expensive, like too much of time, the time and cost of the company should not be very high. Data availability, we are always talking about. What is the source of getting the data? Yes, flexibility is important. The company cannot be rigid with its data, with its forecasting method. There can be flexible methods. They can change the forecasting method looking at the results or over a period of time, looking at what predictions they have to make. Durability and simplicity is a very important factor, because ultimately it is the human resource, the team, that is going to use the forecasting method. So it has to be simple and it has to be durable. As we said, no forecasting is without flaws. How much ever expert team the company has working for it, there can be some or the other limitation the company may find with forecasting method. Like, there can be subjectivity seen in collecting surveys. Surveys are very expensive, they are very time consuming. Sometimes the company may select samples which may not be giving you the honest reply, and you cannot rely your entire consumer prediction based on few samples selected. So selection of the sample is very skillful task over here. Time series is used to only forecast mostly cyclical fluctuation. Okay, trade cycles keep changing. You cannot say that, okay, there was a fall, so there will definitely be a fall in the same duration of time. Field experiments and laboratory observations are always going to be different. If you sit in the company office and you create a situation and you try to understand consumer behavior, and when you actually go into the market and see the consumer behavior, it might vary. But still, forecasting methods are very, very useful, because they are giving the company a prediction. So with that, we have successfully completed the chapter of demand forecasting. Thank you.